traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
When you go on holiday, there is no finer achievement than doing absolutely nothing. Nothing on the beach, nothing by the pool. Walking kind of nowhere and chatting about nothing. As an Expedia member, you can save up to 30% when you add a hotel to your flight. So you can have a bit more money to go out there with great ambition to do absolutely nothing. Expedia, made to travel.
Oh, geez, man. Guys, I don't really think this is her online. Oh, geez. Oh, call Rick.
What?
Hey, Rick, is this really Chantel? Or I just saw her with Justin Bieber, man. Oh, geez.
Why do I look like a centaur? Should I put a shirt on for the...
No,
just keep it off. Give the people what they want.
Are we rolling?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Welcome back to Impulsive. Also known as Repulsive.
Or Compulsive.
What?
Ugh.
The number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing. George is not here.
He's late.
I'm right here.
We got the next best thing. My man bun manager, Jeff.
I love Jeff.
Good to see you.
I love you too, Mike.
Happy that you're staying in the States with me, man.
Oh, he's not. He's coming.
He hasn't said it. You've told me he's coming. He hasn't said it out of his beautiful Jewish lips.
Where you going,
that
Jeff?
He's coming.
You coming to Puerto Rico with the boy?
Sarah's sending me some options to look at.
That is a real
thing. Don't talk to me, you neo-colonial who crashed the housing market. Don't talk to me, bro. The Puerto Ricans are waiting. They're waiting for you, and they're unhappy, as I saw on Twitter.
Yeah, what the?
Yeah.
Hit the news.
I mean, come on, guys. I can't catch a break. I'm like Obama in that meme. Can I live?
No.
Apparently not in Puerto Rico without causing a stir. Look at these memes. Look at this one. Logan Paul when he steps off the plane in Puerto Rico. just Ash Ketchum surrounded.
They used the Pokemon.
I know, surrounded by firearms. They used Pokemon.
What about this one? Logan Paul, a month into living in Puerto Rico. What, am I just going to turn into Fergie?
You turn into Blue, Andre's girlfriend. Wait, do you have the neocolonial one? I know you have one more. You got to pull up the one I sent to the food chat.
Hey, I'm moving to Puerto Rico. Puerto Ricans.
That's so good.
Come on, guys. Come on.
Any good ones? Any like, we're welcoming you with open arms?
Yeah. So, the Twitter headline read mixed reactions. So yeah, I mean, some people are happy about it. Some people are. It's weird because you're either not happy that I'm moving to Puerto Rico or happy that I'm leaving California. Like, I got you thinking about something. Thinking about something. But that's what I want to do. I feel like I should put a shirt on eventually.
Put it on. Right. I knew I was in trouble today because I was sending stuff to the food chat, and instead of ha 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 ha, he wrote in the food chat, ja 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 ja. It's happening.
Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't realize people would give a fuck.
Bro,
that's weird. Can I just like live my life? Is that cool? What do you guys think about that?
I think that was over like 4 years ago.
And with certain things, sure. But I mean, calm down. Here's a good one. What you got?
I just love this one. Just because it's some virtue signaling fuck stick on Twitter that just sent this ridiculous Logan Paul moving to Puerto Rico in order to benefit from the tax breaks and tax exemptions whilst fucking over the housing market and promoting neocolonialism. Like, bro, you said neocolonialism.
And is that
yeah,
him?
Bro,
is that
a picture zoom in on his face. Does this look like him, Logan? You, look at the camera. Does this look like the face of a neocolonist? Are you fucking shit, bro? You really are.
Tweeted by anal powder. Like, that's how we should have known.
Oh, shit, I didn't even notice that.
I loved it. I loved it when I was there.
Yeah, great vacation spot. My mom said it. She said it today.
Bro, I'm sorry. What does Robin know about me and moving?
Here's what I've realized about moms. They tend to know Everything. If you just listen to your mom, yo, I'm being honest out there. If you're watching this, if you simply listen to your mom, they are right roughly between 99.9 and 100% of the time. They're moms, bro. And she was like, oh, I'm sure he loves it. It's a beach community with golf, a lazy river.
Give her the accent.
Great place to go for 1 month. Great place to go for 1 month, but he's going to get bored. He's going to miss the people. He's going to miss all the happenings in LA. He's going to get, I'm telling you.
I'll never get to ask you ever again. What's happening?
Yeah, you can.
It won't matter.
Nothing won't down matter. There. You're gonna be partying with my replacement, Jake Paul.
How fast is?
No,
Mike?
I mean that in a great way.
How fast can Mike run between 3 and 4 miles an hour?
How fast is Mike in Puerto Rico? Under over 6 months.
Oh, Mike's not coming.
No, that's not true. Yeah,
this dude loves his clout.
If
he loves that that dinner at Catch. Oh my God!
Because
he loves
for
it.
Me, it's monetizable. That's why. And if it monetizes the way that it looks like it will over the next 12 to 18 months, I surely can see you post $50 million exit once we move something out here. I'll go down with that money. That's I just fair. Can't go down That's now fair. Until I make the fucking exit.
That's fair.
Jeff, you got a baby and Eight you got your second baby. Me.
You were the first, actually.
What else you need?
You're the first baby.
What else you need?
You're 7 years old. You're like a young adult now. She's 8 months old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, George is here, by the way.
Well, swap them both out. Bring the guest and bring George in.
Do you want to, George, how about you come on the podcast?
Yeah, okay.
Jeff, appreciate you filling in.
By the way, for anybody watching, me and Jeff are starting a podcast. He's not going to Puerto Rico. It'll be released in the next month or so. Nice ass slap there.
Is that true?
Wait.
Yeah.
Wait.
We're starting a business podcast.
Are you going to Puerto Rico or no?
It's not fucking true.
He is.
I don't know. Might be.
Yeah, he is.
Why did you guys put that in the PowerPoint? I'd have fucking left for Jeff.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't wait to show this PowerPoint. Guys, we got a guest. Got a guest. It is a guest-based podcast. Our guest today is making her second appearance on Impulsive. She's the queen of crypto, a world-renowned DJ, a practitioner of the mystic arts, and one half of a Hollywood it couple. She's a badass, cool chick. It's Chantal Jeffries.
My hands are so clammy. I gave her a high five, and she's probably, this is disgusting.
CJ the DJ.
The female Kygo, some say.
Some would say.
Yeah.
Oh, have you heard that before?
No, I have not.
We have.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing over there?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
Yeah, pretty hot.
Dude, a long-term friend. One of the first people that I met in the scene all the way back to Park City, Utah. Do you remember that fucking trip?
Yes, yes. And actually, it just got back from Aspen, too. So I haven't gotten much better at skiing at all. So
I remember you struggling immensely and no improvement.
Yeah, not too much has changed on that front.
But I met her and I remember I had these like, preconceived notions when I went into it, stuff I'd heard on the internet, whatever. And I just remember sitting in the theater of this $30 million house atop Deer Valley, having her randomly and passionately explain to me the history behind AC and DC battery currents. and not like, oh, I know these random facts, like truly passionate about the subject. This girl honestly is a curious person. Is that a good way to describe you?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely like love to learn things. It's like my favorite. I feel like I'm a student of life, but we all are. I just get really excited by it.
I just feel like you surprise people when you come slinging your knowledge about Tesla and Bitcoin and these like new industries that you are surprisingly, again, extremely well-versed in. Even this started with or you coming on this podcast started with a text from you the other day that you sent me.
Oh yeah.
She goes, do you remember when I convinced you to invest $500,000 in Bitcoin back in 2017? That was her 3 years ago.
Because I thought about it. I'm like, wow, we're about to hit 50K. I'm like, wow, that's going to be looking like a lot these days. I wonder if he sold or what.
Yeah, a lot of money. I said, yeah, I do remember that. You know what's worse?
I didn't do it.
Didn't fucking do it.
She was hitting you up on some like congratulations type shit. We're rich. And you're like, no, I'm not. But you did get in. You were an early adopter on that, on more so on Doge. You were in a Doge at 0.008, I believe. So an eighth of a penny.
How did you know?
Well, it's so funny because I'm a big Elon Musk fan, as we all know.
Yep.
But like, I honestly just had seen a meme. So there's this meme and it was like, you know, the Drake from Hotline Bling when he's like, and then he's like going like that. And then he's so it was that, but it was Elon's face and it was being like Bitcoin. It was like Bitcoin and then it was like Dogecoin. And then I thought it was funny. I posted it on Twitter and then I like had bought a bunch. And then the next day, after I posted it, Elon had like tweeted about Dogecoin. So it started going up so crazy. And I was like, Oh my God, I literally posted that yesterday.
How much did you put in Dogecoin? Can you say?
I won't say yeah. this on the internet. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
14
mil.
She's like,
can you buy a Lamborghini with your capital gains?
I'm not trying to give away my
damn,
capital
the way
gains.
He on, said it on too. The way,
I know he's like, I'm like, overall,
you did well.
Dogecoin, maybe not, but overall, yes.
Well, are you trying to take those earnings to Puerto Rico?
Well, it's so funny because I was talking about going to Austin because I was like, oh, I'm going to look at places in, or like property in Austin because yep. I really want to build. And I feel like it's so much easier with all the restrictions and stuff in California. It's just so hard. Mm. Like if you want to build your on like your own kind of like compound or any sort of project, it's just a pain in the ass to get the permits and all the stuff.
Are you still living with the girls?
No, I actually just bought a house. And so I've been doing that and it's such a fun process to be able to like get a place you really like and change things over time and just see. I got it at like the perfect time, I feel like, just with the market. And now that I'm seeing everything I'm seeing on the market is just way more for like a comparable place. And I'm like, oh, that's
so
nice.
So you got it. You got it at the right time in the market.
Yeah.
Similar to Dogecoin and Bitcoin. How do you keep finding yourselves in these early adoption and entry points? Are you actively looking for new markets or for the right timing, or do you find yourself being one of those people who happens to be in the right place at the right time in life? Are you a believer in that kind of energy?
I definitely think it's a combination of both. I listen to my intuition for sure, and I'm super in tune with that. But I try to take in as much information as possible to make the best decisions. Like, you need data to be able to see the bigger picture and decide what you're going to do. So I like to like look at things and track them over time and try to take in as much information as I can, like whether it's on Reddit or going on Clubhouse and like going on Twitter and just seeing, you know, watching YouTube videos, keeping up to date with everything going on in whatever market it is, you know.
Was there enough data for you to invest in GameStop when it was going to the moon?
Oh, I got into GameStop.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm at the perfect time too. I was like, I can show you guys. But it was so funny because I was like, I was kind of like seeing about online, but not like anything too crazy. And I posted on Snapchat, there's like this new feature that came out called Spotlight where you can post and you can like win money, whatever. So I had posted on there about GameStop and then that. And
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It became like a popular video on the Spotlight on Snapchat. And like I had said, like, oh, did you like, are you guys going to invest? Like I put money in and then the next day Elon Musk tweeted the Wall Street.
Okay, so clearly you and Elon Musk are in cahoots is what you're describing.
No,
you're responsible for the pump and dumps taking place.
When did you become friends with Elon? That's what I want to know.
No, I literally like, I'll just like be like, I feel like this is going to happen. And then I'll just be like, okay.
Do you think you're inspiring Elon? Is there a chance
he's an avid
follower of CJ the DJ?
I'm like, I think a lot of people have the same kind of train of thought at certain times.
When did you get into GameStop?
It was literally like, I think the day before Elon tweeted the Wall Street bets, or like 2 days before. Two or three. Actually, you know what? It might have been like 2 or 3 days.
I lost $40,000 investing in
GameStop. Yeah, I was going to say, did you get out?
I got out at like 370. I got out at like 376. I got in at like 80.
She knows when to go to the party and when to leave.
When to hold them and when to fold.
Unbelievable. Because
I'm like, if I'm there, then it's fun. If not, I don't think it's so fun.
You lost me $2.5 million.
Because of your exit.
because I didn't invest in Bitcoin. Oh, yeah. Like, just hit me up.
I lose you? I'm like, I literally tried to
because you didn't push hard enough.
No, I literally remember you being like, my business manager, they're like telling me not to do it. And I was like, suit yourself. I was like, I put my money in. So like, and you know what? The craziest part was I had forgotten. And then I was like, oh, you know, because I had like got a new phone and I never downloaded the apps I had on my old phone, but I still had my old phone. So then like, I was like, oh wait, whenever it went up to 40, I was like, oh, let me try to log in. And then I opened it and I didn't know, I hadn't really remembered what I bought it at specifically or how much. And I was like, well, okay. I was like, oh wow.
Whoa.
I think a new house is on the horizon. Jake, you're lucky you remembered your password. My brother Jake invested in Bitcoin. His first ever Vine check. He invested in Bitcoin when it was at, I think, like $100.
Stop.
I'm talking like stage one Bitcoin.
Oh my gosh.
I think it probably amounted to like $150,000 to $200,000 today, but he forgot his password.
I talked to somebody.
Do you know there's billions of dollars float of Bitcoin?
Oh, yeah.
Just because people forgot their passwords.
Yeah.
Hey, that would be me.
Which makes it worth more.
And you get 10 tries, right, to get back in.
I think it depends what
platform
ledger
you traded on.
You're using.
Where it's held.
I'm sure you have cold storage.
I have like a few different places that I keep it, and like I'm so scared of all these stories that I hear like online. Then you read about these people that literally have like millions and millions of dollars, if not billions, and you're just like, that is so scary.
You call yourself a student of the earth. Is that what you described it as earlier in the
life?
Of life, a student of life. Either way, right?
Yeah.
We hear that a lot in LA, but from a lot of girls, right? Oh yeah, I'm a student of life.
Really?
You know, yeah.
I've never heard that.
And there's this song from Father John Misty.
Oh, I love Father John. Yeah, what a great songwriter.
I know. The night Josh Tillman came to our apartment is the name of the song. And he says, and now every insufferable convo features her patiently explaining the cosmos. Because there's a lot of girls. There's a lot of girls like that. But you actually do care about this shit. Yeah. Have you always been like that? Have you always been like passionately interested? What made you so interested in the DC versus AC current conversation and why Tesla was so important?
Well, I think that these things are really intriguing. So once you discover a certain subject that resonates with you, you are going to just want to talk about it all the time, and you're going to be, you know, involved in it and want to use your free time to explore it more and more. I think that just like some people from a younger age kind of just were either kind of pushed towards that more or weren't given as many other options of things to do. So then they kind of steered towards reading and being interested in stuff like that. I think for me, that was just like what I like to do in my spare time. And probably just because I always felt like I could understand it and make progress in it quickly. And when you do anything, when you see you're good at it, then you get more encouraged to do it more often because you can see the concrete results.
Exponentially
and compound the growth there. So it's I just feel like I genuinely get dopamine from learning new things. I always have. I just like think you can understand life better in other subjects if you learn about things, and that they kind of like cross over. So
what was your childhood like?
I was just gonna ask, were you a cool kid?
Yeah.
Oh no, I was like super school focus and education focus, but it was also because I moved a lot. I didn't really like, I moved to a new school and I wouldn't really have friends at first, so I would just like go to school and all you can really do is just like read your homework and stuff. Like, what are you gonna do if you don't really know anyone,
right?
So that you can just like hang out by yourself, or like me and my sister would always hang out. But like, my mom had these rules growing up where it was like, if you watch 1 hour of TV, you have to read for 1 hour.
Love that.
So like, love growing that up, I spend a lot of time just like reading, because had to if I wanted to watch it. Like, I would save up my TV time by reading. So I just started reading more and more so I could have as much TV time as I wanted.
For
so
every hour that I watched TV, my dad would lock me out of the house for an hour.
That's crazy.
Oh, wait. I think we talked about this last time because I remember you telling me that story.
I was dyslexic, so an hour of TV was like a page in a book. The dog went to the park. All right,
George, it doesn't. George, that doesn't say dog. It says God. You're reading the Bible, George.
Oh. The God went to the.
That's great.
I mean, it's...
You know I got catfished by you. We talked about
this. Yes, I'm like, okay, I was literally going to bring that up because I was like...
And it wasn't in like a dating way. I was really young. I was like 13. And we talked about this when we were...
Yeah, because, you know, I think it's really interesting to think like people that get catfished. Because, you know, like sometimes they think that they know you and they meet you in real life. Like what we're about to talk about and you never actually met them. So that's, you know, something that happens commonly.
That's like a reverse catfish scenario. Like you meet the actual person.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Thinking that you met them before.
No, listen to this. So this is my real shit. I'm on Facebook. All right, minding my own business and I get a friend request and I was like, oh, she's cute. All right, click yes. She's like, hey, blah, blah, blah. And it starts out normal as fuck, like super normal, just talking. I was like, all right, blah, blah, blah. A week later, yeah, man, I'm having problems at home. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, I was like, oh, shit, like, are you good? Are you safe? She's like, yeah, no, I'm safe, you know, like, blah, 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 my dad, and this is that. So it gets deep, bro. So I'm like, now I'm not even invested in dating this girl. I'm invested in, like, her protection or safety or, like, all that shit. So I'm like, fuck. I got all my neighborhood friends like, yo, look at this. First of all, look at this girl. She added me. I didn't add her. They're like, damn, good for you. We adapt each other up. We had a soda pop. We celebrated. Yeah. We went right back to the drama.
Soda pop.
So then everybody was like, oh, shit, like, you, like, fucking ditch her, bro. She's like
trouble.
She's trouble. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that.
And my friends I'm not going to do that.
She needs me. And she's hot.
George was Captain Save-A-Ho.
Yeah,
that was George. Straight up.
Yeah, just so I was like, you know, I was there. I was
helping someone in need is not a Captain Save-A-Ho.
Facts.
He has
true.
A good heart.
Yeah, it's a good heart. Fucking
unlike maybe some people. <I'm just kidding.
laughs> So I'm sitting there. I'm messaging back. Blah blah blah. This and that. And this is how I knew I was stupid. Are you ready for this? Yeah. This is how I knew I was stupid. I did it. By the way, catfishing back in the day wasn't a thing. Like, you weren't fucking pretending to be something. That was
First of all, it was
weird.
A thing, and there was this whole entire MTV series about it.
No, this was before that.
Before this.
Wait. What the fuck? I thought I was like 19. Be like, oh, yeah, I get it. No, I was young as fuck.
So, wait, how long before we met was this? Because
I'm talking freshman year of my high school.
Wow, so these people must have gotten my photo. Like, no one knew who I was then. Like, no. I'm thinking, like, oh, it's like once like, you start getting followers on the internet, people steal your pictures. Like, even usually if you have like 30K or something.
They were an early adopter in Chantel stock. Like, they knew you were going to blow up and hit the right entry point.
So then a few years later, all my friends from the neighborhood text me like, hey, that bitch is on the news. So I was like, what? So I was like, what the fuck? So I like opened the news. It's like, Justin Bieber is driving really fast cars with this girl. I was like, that bitch moved up in life. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, this is fucking great. She got out of her fucked
shitty
up house
situation.
On JB, let's go. I opened up my Facebook. I fucking try to find this bitch. Gone, dog. So then years go by, and I'm like, you know what? I don't think that's her, man. Because I'm adding the life story she told me, and then I like kind of researched you, and I was like, this just doesn't add up. And then that's when that show Catfish came out, and I was like, oh. So 5-6 years later, you hit me up like, yo, going snowboarding. I go, oh, bet. He goes, oh, by the way, Chantel. Immediately, I was like, huh. I was like, okay, do I tell her? Do I not tell her?
Oh, yeah. Well, the first thing he comes up, hey, so like, yeah, I got catfished by you. I'm like, this.
Wait, so y'all met on that trip too?
Yeah, I met you and
that
her.
That trip was a catalyst for
you
a
met
lot.
Him on that trip?
Yeah, I met you on that trip.
We met, they met. That was the first time me and you ever proper hung out. Shout out Sean Nelson.
You know what's actually really crazy is I also met like one of my best friends, Jocelyn, on that trip because whenever you guys ditched me and I didn't know how to ski and I went by myself and I'm going towards the ski lift.
That's right.
And then I literally like have no clue what a ski lift even is. I'm like, doo-doo-doo. Someone goes, do you know what you're doing? And like full mask, can't see them. And I'm like this, no. They're like, oh, come with us. I'm like, okay. I just get on the ski lift, have no idea who
that
people
are. That was Jocelyn.
And then
me
and Jocelyn. Do you remember that?
Oh my
God. I remember when you went away from us and met up with her.
Yeah, but that's how I met her because I didn't know how to ski.
And Alyssa was on the trip too?
And Alyssa Violet was there. That trip was
Oh, yeah. We all had bunk beds and shit.
Yep. Oh my God, the altitude. I had never skied so much that I didn't know about altitude poisoning or like getting too drunk.
You snowboard to know about altitude?
Did you get dizzy or like?
You're smart.
But no.
Well, you don't usually go up in the mountains.
I'm saying about the altitude and alcohol because.
Oh, you missed the alcohol part.
Yeah,
people are just at home be like, this bitch didn't know about altitude.
See, I'm like, we all went out and then we're like, wait, you get really drunk after like two drinks here.
Yeah.
And Alyssa, she literally couldn't even walk. So we're trying to carry her up, but like the whole entire parking lot is frozen. So we're like slipping and sliding and the whole thing. And then that's why actually I didn't make it to the mountain because I was so hungover. So
hungover.
That I didn't wake up. And I'm like,
That was the first time I met Jake Paul as well. That was the first time I met him. And I walked in and I was like, well, Logan's a nice, really nice kid. I walked in and I was like, hey, Jake Paul, good to meet you. And he was like, do you even ski these mountains, man? And I was like, oh, damn, these motherfuckers are way different, bro. He's like, why don't you do me a favor? And he had like platinum teeth. He's like, why don't you get the fuck out of my house? And I was like, no problem, man. I just was curious if you wanted a love sack. I'll just see myself out.
I remember that.
You guys fucking ditched me too?
Huh?
This is a true story. I didn't know what the fuck a blue diamond, a black diamond.
Oh my God.
I saw double black and I was like, I wore two blacks. I was like, that seems about nice. Bro, I'm sliding down. I got off my board and I sat on it and I had to go like this with my hands. He's just like, dude, nobody was there. Nobody. Yeah. I was like, where the fuck are all the kids and shit?
No, Park City.
You got to follow the kids. That's what you got to. Because first of all, they're really cute to look at while they're skiing.
No,
they have
do
no,
that. That's illegal.
We can't. She could probably get away. She could probably get away.
When they're this big and they don't have the ski poles and they just go like,
right.
And they have no control over where they're going. They're just like, pizza, french fry. And they're like, do a pizza.
You DM'd him and he DM'd you when you posted that video.
There's this video. It's like the theme of our trip. And
you got to post
a pizza.
I feel like we pulled this up last Chantel podcast.
It's the best video ever. When you showed me that, I swear to you on everything I love, I've showed at least 500 people.
No, that is one of the best viral videos ever.
I yell at the kid from the ski lift. I'm like, do a pizza. Pizza, French
fries. Pizza! 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 Pizza!
Oh, this poor kid. He's pushing 90 miles an hour. Oh my God, yard sale.
Yard sale.
Fucked up.
Oh, yard sale. No earnings, bro. Hot dog water. Just straight up fucking
pizza,
dog water.
You got a pizza, dude.
Oh, no.
He was going towards the woods.
Bro, he was going to another galaxy.
He was approaching at my speed.
He was definitely was in some G-force.
Damn, that trip. What if we ran that same trip back with the same people?
Ooh.
Question for you.
Hey, man,
okay, question.
I don't know if we could
not
do
question.
That.
Could that happen?
Me and Logan just had a huge flashback. Nope, that can't happen.
I still have some sus-ass videos of that trip.
Dude, get rid of those. Yeah,
you gotta delete those.
We made an oath to delete those videos.
Like bananas being thrown at people.
Stop it.
No problem.
Wait, nothing. You guys are supposed to delete those videos.
Yeah, they're gone.
I
deleted it.
They're gone.
You bitch.
Nah.
You're that guy.
I'm not.
You're going to be in Puerto Rico saving all that money and he's going to be like, hey, remember that video?
He's going to be like, yo, give me all that crypto.
$10,000 in Bitcoin or I'll release the banana dick video.
Hey, Mike, this is a FaceTime. I can see your face.
We've changed. All of us sitting at this table, we're reformed, we're evolved, we're new people.
Yeah, we hide it better.
Yeah, maybe.
No.
No, we are. We're different.
No, we're new people.
What priority in your life when compared to crypto, when compared to music, when compared to all the things you do, is love, is a long-term partner.
Great question.
I mean, I think it just depends on the situation. I think like it's really important to balance your time and make sure that you give enough attention to like all the things that you're working towards. And so I definitely try to do that. I think like, I don't know, there's so many things going on. And like also what's really interesting is seeing, you know, now that we've been in quarantine for so long and going back into the real world, like traveling and like how your time's going to look different now. Because before it's like you can stay inside and do like I can go online all day and get info and like do trading and like just do research and whatever. But it's like once I can travel and go outside and do stuff, like, am I going to be able to do that as much? How's that going to look? And I mean, just like seeing how life in general is going to be shifting. Cause I don't think I'll necessarily go back to like the full caliber of like traveling and going out and doing stuff as much as I did before.
Sending it.
Just because like I honestly have created so many hobbies and routines in my house and like
doing things. Oh, you got hobbies?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of hobbies?
Learning is obviously one
of them. Yeah.
Do epoxy?
Well, I'm actually, I just started doing ceramics, which I'm really excited about. But like I was doing like sewing during quarantine. A lot of cooking, gardening.
Oh, you're going to be a sick grandmother.
Yeah, probably.
She already has a sweater for it. But also, you consume a lot of, you love Rick and Morty.
Yes.
You
consume,
Are we getting another season?
Aren't they getting canceled for what that created? Oh,
listen, that wasn't the best. Let's not give more attention to it. Please, okay. I need a fucking other season.
I love the season, but besides that situation that he did, which is gross, But the last season I didn't even finish watching. It was four, right?
It was ass.
It was not good.
It was pretty ass. Mm. The Chantel, please.
Oh, jeez, Rick. We got no more ideas for episodes.
Oh, my God. That was really good.
Since when?
I don't know. I just kind of threw it out there.
More.
Okay. What do you want me to say?
Anything.
Oh, jeez, man. Guys, I don't really think this is her online. Oh, jeez. Oh, call Rick.
What?
Hey, Rick, is this really Chantel? Or I just saw her with Justin Bieber, man. Oh, jeez.
Yo, that was also a bit shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Great, yeah. Way to go. Good.
You can't do Rick, can you?
Nah, I don't think I could. Burp, Morty. That's all I got.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
do you watch any other cartoons? Animated anime?
Yes, I love anime.
Do you watch One Punch Man?
I haven't.
You haven't watched One Punch Man?
I have to check it out.
Have you watched it yet?
Dragon Ball Z, but I like...
Dragon Ball Z is the shit.
Well, you need to watch One Punch Man.
I tried.
What?
I watched the first episode.
You're lying.
The fucking thing was from here to the universe, and the guy's like, oh, and the guy fucking vanished.
He's One Punch Man.
Hey. That's kind of like the punchline.
Yeah.
That's the name of the show.
Hey, but like-
That's his thing.
But what the fuck is he gonna, like, what's the issue here, huh? What's the issue?
You're wondering where the conflict is.
Yes. Is the conflict within yourself?
No. They do an amazing job of creating a full spectrum of characters that they build around One Punch Man. And his conflict is that since he can't beat anyone with one punch, he gets bored and he's like severely depressed.
Chuck Norris vibes.
Almost. Like he's literally like the best superhero ever. Well, like one punch, that's it for almost everyone. And then sometimes, you know, he meets a worthy opponent.
It takes two punch?
Sometimes more. But it's a really, really good series. It's a great series. I watched all of it in like a week.
What do you mean?
Dragon Ball Z is just so
standing
good,
by dude. For the third season. For everyone who watches One Punch Man, if you know, you know.
Oh, remember when Johannes dressed up as him?
Yeah. Johannes looks exactly like One Punch Man. What else? What else are you watching?
Cartoons or not?
Anything,
okay, let's talk about one of the greatest animated movies, Soul. That was.
It's
did
great.
You see it?
Yep,
it
was. Great. Saw it twice.
That was the reason I invested in Disney stock. I saw it. I was like, oh, well, I'm gonna put my money here because they're streaming. I mean, this is great.
And surprisingly, you made money on that trade, didn't you, Chantel?
Yeah, well, I did. Unrealized gains. Yes.
Unrealized gains.
Oh yeah.
I'm watching a new Timothy Leary documentary right now about the girl who dated Timothy Leary
What's it called?
I'll pull that.
Oh, so you're not actually watching it?
Yeah, I'll pull that up for you. No, I am. I just forgot the
phone. You know about Tim Leary?
My psychedelic love story, Timothy Leary on the Run.
Yep.
And it's all about his love saga with his 1970s socialite.
Oh,
and
wow.
She was traveling around the world with him as he was on the run from the U.S. Federal government. He was hiding in Afghanistan. Afghanistan ended up actually giving him back to the U.S., I believe.
Timothy Leary was an American psychologist and writer known for a strong advocacy of psychedelic drugs.
Acid.
Evaluations of Leary are polarized, ranging from bold oracle to publicity hound. You know about him?
I do, but I didn't know about the socialite new documentary. Yep, yep. I know about the other one, but not this one.
How much acid are you doing these days?
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org.
paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I haven't seen any acid in quite some time.
Yeah.
Good.
You actually have dabbled in acid?
Well, I mean, George, who hasn't?
Me.
You're the only person on the set. Oh. So how's it feel to be the minority?
Don't
brother?
Look at me and go, oh, that's fucking, it's
you can't call
it
a minority.
Scary.
A minority.
Hey, yeah, you know I'm brown. Mike, you just jumped into the box of racism. I'm gonna let you stand look there for a couple seconds.
Look at the genuine concern on my face. You're the fucking minority here, George.
My ranch. My ranch that I bought.
Yeah.
Was Tim Leary's ranch.
Oh wow.
Yep.
Oh my
yep.
god.
They at one point.
I think you actually said that to me, but I didn't like register it.
100 million tabs of acid. 100 million tabs of acid produced at the ranch.
Wait, so wait, federally that was rated. Wait, stop. So this is a documentary. That was from your ranch.
Some of
a portion of his yeah. life was spent there. Yeah. yeah.
Well, no, with 100 with the tabs of acid. With
lots
the,
of acid. It got federally rated, dude. Yeah. They arrested 7 hippies and the hippie mafia. They're called the Brotherhood of Eternal Love.
Yes, and they would Grateful Dead on their parties.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they he owns be... that ranch. Like, can you imagine?
Oh, so being... I didn't know that. Excuse me.
Yeah.
You guys, anyone tell me that?
Can you? Well, listen. Can you imagine being this Timothy Leary, Grateful Dead fan, the culture. All of the history tied up in the Brotherhood in that house. 6 months. And then Logan Paul coming and buying that fucking rent. Like, bro.
Who do you want to own a
kill shot? It's
on,
like one
Mike.
Punch man show. Mike, I got to
Mike, who's team are you on?
Like this,
Mike?
I love you.
I'm just kidding. How kidding? Just there in the middle of the desert, they're watching. They're like, "Hey, what's up, Logan? Welcome." He's doing acid. We know what this looks like. He's doing acid.
I feel like they want me to do acid and lose my mind, but I'm not gonna.
They dose all the walls. They dose everything. Huh? So if you touch it and you touch your eye, you just are like hallucinating and you're walking around.
Have I done?
Yes or no?
LSD?
Yes.
Can I talk about this?
You have 100,000 times.
Man
bro.
Bun manager Jeff? LSD? Yeah, can I say whether or not
how about
I did
we
it?
Talk about our thoughts about it instead?
Yeah, instead of the actual.
I mean, yeah, like I've tried.
What is it like?
Easy with the 100,000 times. I'm going to need to reel you in, big fish.
Do it. Met physically.
Come
show,
back.
No, show me. Do it. All right, I'm back. Sorry. My bad.
Not 100,000 times.
Once, twice.
No. 3 times.
Got it.
Is it better than shrooms?
Absolutely fucking
hold
not.
On. Better is a
gnarly.
Better, that's like what
gnarly drug.
Better is a
you want to lose your mind?
Stop.
Potentially permanently do LSD.
Is that stop. The drug where if you crack your back when you're old, you're just like
yeah.
Going to the
it
like,
stays in your yeah. spine. It stays in your spinal column. He's
tripping out.
He's messaging it wrong. You need to like any other drug. Work with it very responsibly. It would be nice to work with someone who understands
there's psychedelic therapy clinics that you can go to do psychedelic assisted therapy, which is, you know, the way to safely be able to get the benefits from certain types of psychedelics. And it's, you know, the safe way and the legal way to do things. So
have you found any benefits from your experience?
I don't think people should run around like doing acid without like proper guidance because, you know, these things are dangerous. I think, you know, there's a lot of benefits that are to be achieved if you do it the right way and if you do it in the right setting and if you don't have the knowledge and have someone that can guide you through that.
But do you have takeaways or is it just a recreational
drug? I'm not like, I actually am not like an expert in LSD. I don't know.
But
like,
surely you've done shrooms sometimes here at this house, even maybe once.
I think psilocybin's something that I definitely have done more research in and I especially see the benefits a lot with mental health and with like having, you know, being presented with, hey, you can take all these drugs with all these side effects or like, hey, you can do assisted therapy and, you know, maybe like just know how to do it on your own. But like you know, to say, okay, you can take this pill that is probably going to have a lot of side effects every day and work on the dosage up till you get to a certain point. And that's going to take a long time to find out it might not even work.
Might not work.
Yeah. And so it's something that you have to weigh the risks versus rewards for yourself and think, like, what do you think is the best thing? What do you, you just with anything, you have to weigh risk versus rewards. And I think sometimes people's calculators needs to be recalibrated.
I noticed there's a tipping point with psychedelics where it becomes this semi-beneficial or fully beneficial, however it may or may not help you, substance. And then all of a sudden you're 100% vegan. You worship the god of Shiva. You chant hymns with your friends around a campfire.
Yeah, but
you
what
smell like essential oils.
Yeah, but what were you
There's
doing?
A tipping point.
Yeah, but what were you doing? What were, yeah, so here's
so
my
like
question.
From
what
the other side, that looks just as crazy. I think if you're standing from that, if you start on the other side and you look at like someone living like a normal life that you might have been living before, those people are going to think you look just as kooky, crazy and out of your goddamn mind and, as you might, as they look to you.
Correct.
There's just a separation there, you know, there's a distance traveled.
I'm not a proponent of any of the things that you just mentioned. You know, I'm not a vegan. I'm not, you know, visiting my neighborhood shaman on a weekly basis. But say that person who you considered to have, you know, gone over the tipping point, as you described it, was a PTSD suffering, you know, Iraq veteran. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't sleep ever. And he couldn't talk to his kids because he had terrible fucking thoughts of his kids dying in an IED attack. And that was an anxiety inducing situation. He went through this trial period of psilocybin with Dr. Tony Bosis out there at NYU and found that. You know, psilocybin therapy calmed his nerves, calmed him down. And he did become a vegan and he taught his kids to stop eating meat. And he did become so like, I agree with you. I believe you're right.
Have you met any of those?
No, they should stop.
Have you met any of those?
Personally, no.
Me either.
But
I've met a lot of people who are like, oh, it's fun. It's cool.
Have
it's
you
benefiting me and like connecting me to the earth? And then all of a sudden they're literally just a blade of grass.
No, I hear you. But also at the same time, like, have you met a robotics engineer that worked on Elon Musk's recent SpaceX program?
I'm sure there's a couple watching.
Yeah, they're watching. Have you met? You know what I'm saying? Like meeting
Reach
someone is not
to me
a good
so I can prove Mike wrong on this particular point.
Well, the thing is too. It's like when you go in and you're like, okay, I'm going to take whatever drug it is. If you get a prescription or if you're doing this on your recreational time, it's like, okay, there's side effects and everyone reacts differently to things. And that's why it's like to think about with any drug, it's like some things are perceived to be more safe for people to just kind of do on their own. And I think we're seeing that over time with these things as laws are changing gradually with, you know, just like marijuana too. It used to be thought of and LSD. And that's the reason why Tim Leary and he was FBI raided. It's like, okay, why is that? They deemed this to be so dangerous, but they're not, it's like, okay, at what level?
Well, you know? And it can
and
be,
is
it
the
can
thought,
be
yeah.
For LSD, but do you remember Reefer Madness? Like Reefer Madness was a movie that came out way before marijuana was even looked at as potentially legalized that was supposed to scare people into believing that if you take one hit of weed, you'll either become a homosexual, you'll jump out the window of your building. They put a whole movie out about this.
And that's just ridiculous. And it makes people think all sorts of other crazy things that they think are true because they believe something like that. Wow. And you see people spiral into thinking the craziest things that they hear are true just because like that clearly is not true.
I do understand your guys' point of views, but I don't think those other drugs are at the same capacity that marijuana is.
They're not, but psilocybin is surely closer. LSD,
that's what I'm talking about as far as like we see a lot of, you know, people now we're seeing votes on decriminalization and like stuff like that, kind of a similar path that we've seen with marijuana. Just marijuana obviously came before that. So that's kind of what I'm saying as far as we're seeing a change in that because it went from these psychedelics being, you know, the most dangerous of all the drugs to not so much. And when you really look at the science behind it, you're like, how did you even get to that conclusion in the first place? Number one, psilocybin, it's like when you think about mushrooms, it's a plant and they grow on
naturally.
The side of the road. Like when you, especially the farther up north you go, you're literally just walking there literally on the side of the road. So to say that that's a criminal thing to have them is kind of just ridiculous because
that
it's like
I
saying you pick up a plant. And then, so that it's nice to see decriminalization
Absolutely.
Of it.
But it's a psychedelic and another psychedelic LSD is made in a lab. And
yeah.
It's,
But when you think about the inventor of LSD, did LSD every single day for...
Did he microdose?
20 plus years.
No, not micro, macro.
He lived to be over 100, and his wife did the same. They both lived to be over 100.
He does not have the same story as some of the other cosmonauts, because some of the other early psychedelic cosmonauts like did not end up in as great a situation.
They've had
some major situations. But LSD, you ask the question, is it better? It's a really tough question. It's like we had that conversation about Drake versus the Beatles. Who's better? The word better is a very metricless terminology when it comes to comparing. So
one seems like dangerous and the other
No. So that's what I'm saying. Chill. So let me just LSD, from what I understand, is the most powerful drug from a mass to actual effect standpoint on the planet. So one teaspoon of LSD would be enough to get like a million people at a concert high. Mm. One teaspoon, like a teaspoon.
Well, so if you really did it, you'd fucking just easily.
Oh yeah, you could. People do somehow. But those are still, at the end of the day, they still might do 500 micrograms. It's still not a teaspoon.
Have you guys seen Good Times, the movie with Robert Pattinson?
No.
There's this scene in the movie where they have a bottle full of acid.
Right.
And they pour it into this guy's mouth. They're trying to make... Basically, they broke into like a theme park and they, like the security guard, they don't want him to remember, right?
Because
he's like finds them and chasing them. So nothing, he just goes to the hospital. Like obviously like it's a movie, so it's right. Not real life. But like, I don't know. He just like...
You can die as a result of as actions. Yeah.
Who ran into the fire at Burning Man.
Okay. You guys see?
There's a dude that ran into fire. He's not a moth.
Well, he's not the only one. I mean, someone almost died at the Leary Ranch in a fire. Why the guy tipped over into the fire when he was on acid trip.
He took synthetic psilocybin.
Whatever. Regardless,
he did end up dying.
Yes, and he died.
He died.
A lot of people end up in fires because they're very attractive when you're on a psychedelic.
Have you guys
seen? It's a fire, George.
I
want to be inside that.
I mean,
if you're not under, you know, if you're under a macro dose, if you listen,
is it doing more good for the world or bad for the world?
I think psilocybin will get to a place
doing more good. How
in the next 5 years? Over the next 5 years, I believe that psilocybin through medicinal legalization and semi decriminalization across different places will get to a place where it is doing more good than bad. LSD, back to the better thing. Final note on it is far more intense and hard to wrangle than psilocybin. You can have a night of psilocybin out at the local bar, hanging out with your friends, having a great time, laughing amongst each other. Even on a high dose, even on a 3.5 to 4 grams, you saw Mike Tyson on this podcast take 4.5 grams of mushrooms and do a podcast.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Now, if he took a macro dose of acid, he would not be able to fucking do the podcast.
You see that joint behind George's head?
Yeah.
Mike Tyson smoked that.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We're pretty proud of it.
Here's the thing.
In that seat.
So
let me explain a little bit to you about psilocybin and like something, the thing that helps, you know, well, first of all, my dad, he's a veteran, PTSD, all of these different things. He has about like 8 different prescriptions that he has to take for different things, whether it's nightmares, PTSD, you know, muscle relaxers, painkillers, antidepressants, bipolar medication, whatever it is, like pretty much has had all of them. And over the years they change. It's like, and then to be like, oh, like maybe, you know, try smoking weed or try mushrooms instead of taking 10 different pills a day. And then seeing the results of like, I don't want to take these anyways. Like they don't make me like each one is for another one. It's like you take PTSD medicine, then you have to take sleeping pills, and then you take the sleeping pills and you get nightmares. So you have to take nightmare medicine. And then you take, you know, and it's just a cyclical thing of like, hey, you know, it's risk versus reward. You have to weigh it. And like taking all of these things are just not good long term. Absolutely like you see not. It with like painkillers. You're a disabled veteran or you're a veteran and you're older, whatever the case is, you're taking painkillers every day. It's like that has long-term effects. There's really high side effects.
I agree 1,000,000%.
When you think about like, oh, what are the side effects of these drugs? Well, any other drug that I just named have way more deaths,
For sure.
Way more like side effects overall. So you have to put that into perspective and think about, okay, you know, one thing has way less side effects and there's like rare and few or far between of like serious things versus some things have, you know, side effects for most or if not all people. And then, you know, those things are compounding and over time how they affect you.
I would definitely take the homeopathic route for sure, because I feel like, you know, medicine is, it's a business. They want you to take that pill to get this pill. I get it. But I don't know about like your age growing up, but like our age growing up, don't get in cars and strangers. We have Uber now. Don't do drugs. Hey, by the way, it could actually cure you. So is that like at what what the fuck, man? Like I'm
that's,
confused.
That's
as
crazy.
Fuck.
Well,
that's
listen,
crazy. Well, yeah, that's why it's like you do your own research because I was watching Mad Men.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Like I've been watching Mad Men recently, and then you see them talk about like psychiatry and smoking in the show, like just they're you know in the advertising business in the 60s and stuff, and then they're talking about psychiatry and it's a reoccurring theme throughout the show. But they literally know nothing. They just like say the most random shit that you can clearly tell they just don't have any knowledge. Psychiatry is like a new trend, and everyone's like, oh, they just have a nervous breakdown. Meanwhile, the girl ends up with Parkinson's. It's like they don't. It's like every, you know, we learn more as we go. So things change and people's opinions change. That's why you have to like take every new information that you get and, you know, factor it in to make your decision. Like you can't be concrete with your opinion because you're presented with new facts every single day.
I agree. I just, I look at it from a bird's eye view and some things are not, like you said, like risk and reward. To me, it's like, I'm not going to dabble with.
Well, you don't have to. And the biggest thing for someone like you, George, is that completely makes sense. Now, I don't know what demons you personally struggle with up here, but I find a lot of people that think the way you think. And honestly, I think the same way about a lot of things, deal with anxiety, depression, PTSD, some level of demon. And so if you came up to me and you were like, yo, you've been on Effexor 500 or 50 or whatever for 8 years. Mm-hmm. Before that, you tried Lexapro. Before that, it was Zoloft. Yeah. None of those drugs had any effect on you. You wake up every day. You can't define any moment over the past decade that's made you truly happy. Over the past decade, we're going to try something new with you. I'm going to coach you through it. We're going to work on it together. I would be all fucking ears on that. So like for someone who's extremely mentally clear and feels very good about things, i.e. you two and I maybe you too, I don't know. But for the person out there who's been struggling for over a decade with some level of demons, whether it be voices, whether it be any of the other things I just described, like all of a sudden this new thing pops up and they see light at the end of the tunnel, you know? So
I can't ever speak for other people's point of views. I can never do that. Yeah. Never. And I'll never disrespect anybody if they have any type of depression or anxiety. I do deal with it on a very small basis.
Sure.
But growing up, I brought a lot of problems to a religious standpoint. And I feel like a lot of people do that. If it's not religious, it's a higher power. Some people believe in the universe. Some people believe in drugs. Some people do all that things. But what my problem is, and I get worried about not talking about your guys' point of life. So please don't take this as in me talking about your guys' point of views. But my fear is that somebody's like, oh, yeah, okay. And they just do that, take the easier route. What I'm saying hey, climb that mountain. You know what I mean? Maybe quit your job, go find something else. Maybe lose some weight, hit the gym. Maybe change your diet.
Yep,
I think
a lot of
people are like trying to take these fucking shortcuts because all we're doing is living a fast-paced generation that it's like, at what point are you just, and here's the thing, a lot of people do research.
Some people just simply have no motivation and they simply don't care. You're not going to say hit the gym and lose weight because they don't care. They are apathetic to life. They don't care. Nothing you can say is like, oh, try this. They don't want to. They don't care. They want to do nothing. They don't want to exist necessarily. So like to say, do this to have this result. It's not that they are necessarily unhappy with like, oh, I'm fat and I want to be skinny, or I'm skinny and I want to be bigger, or like I have this and I want to do this. They just don't care. To be apathetic is very different than to like, you know, not be happy with where you are in life.
1,000%.
So sometimes it's just your brain chemistry.
Chemical imbalance.
Chemical imbalance being like, I just simply don't care about anything. And then it's like, here, maybe I can have some hope of life and like want to exist and want to learn things and want to have interactions with people versus like, why do I even exist? Like,
and that's not the minority set. It's a fucked up thing to imagine that is closer to the median, that the average value of you know, like there's a lot of people out there who have lofty goals, but there's a lot of people out there who have that apathy towards life and are just, you know, getting by day to day. I was reading recently this author by the name of Tolstoy, who, you know, describes that apathy towards what's coming and what you can do about it, you know, and he describes these four different outlooks, and one of them being full on hedonism.
Yeah.
The other one being suicide. And so like, you know, Tolstoy is a very dark writer, but I think there's a lot of people out there who are trying to find that purpose in life
or you can just realize that like, society's literally, the whole thing is made up. And you can
here
just
we
be
go.
Like,
here we go. We're in the simulation, like, folks.
Hey. What you mean by that?
Well, think about it. Everything that we do in society is made up. Somebody had the idea to like do anything in society that we do. Like what side of the road we drive on, like speaking a language.
Yeah, that's, but why?
Survival and just like, but the point is they just add all these layers.
Efficiency, structure, and organization is the answer.
Well, you want to know what? There's a lot of different ways to do things, and we've progressed and times are changed so much to think that like, it's not about why we do things. It's about the fact that we made it up and people think that, that's not the case. You have to go into life realizing like somebody had this idea to do this like this and we just decided to start doing things a certain way. And then you think like—
But not just for any reason.
No.
Hey, we created the wheel.
No. But what I'm saying, I'm not saying that everything that people, humans do, I'm saying society, there's people in the world that don't live in the same society as us. In every other country, their society is different.
Yeah.
Meaning they do things different ways, meaning you can't think the only way that we do things is the only way because it's not. So when you think about how much they vary, it's a lot. So to think about like every society varies so much and be like, okay, so like, why do I think this is the only way to do things? It's just simply not. Like there's infinite possibilities to do anything.
Where do you draw the line? So you're right now you're talking about social construct, right?
Yeah.
But there are people out there.
Who tells you you have to wake up in the morning and go to sleep at night? Who tells you, why can't you sleep like for 4 hours in the middle of the day?
Wait, hold on, stop. Wait 1 second.
Biology says that your body hits a certain type of like REM at night. And so
but there in your genetics, there's some people that perform better in the morning and some people that perform better at the night. And the window of time like makes for a different type of sleeping schedule that you should be on. But yes, okay. And it's in your genetics. But the thing is, people just think, oh, everybody wakes the same time and goes to sleep. That's not necessarily the most efficient way for you. But nowadays, you don't need to do that, right?
We've created a structure. Society is a structure that is organized to get from A to B in the most efficient, effective way possible.
Yeah, but guess what?
But for who?
The masses are losing.
They're poor. They can't afford to feed their children. The masses are losing.
I don't think the masses
are. That's the point.
There's a mass. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think the majority of Americans
The masses are not poor. They're not, but there is There's a tremendous amount of people in this country who are either A, homeless, B, hungry, C, underwater on their mortgage, D, in some level of strife in their life. Okay, so if poor is not the right word, whatever word you want to use, the system right now, the structure that you define as a system for the masses to succeed is actually a system for the top to succeed. The bottom gets to ride along.
It's made for you to say, like, if you work hard enough in these lower levels, you can work your way up so that when you get to the top, you know it's harder to get there, that, like, it's not in as much jeopardy and, like, you've gotten your way there. Like,
but
that's like, what they tell you. And like,
is there a species where this is not true? We humans are just ants. We're giant ant colony, and we're functioning in the same exact way as ants.
So animals, it's interesting because like I have a bunch of cats, you guys know, right? So I just got a Savannah cat, and to see the way they interact, it's actually you can see it, you can meet it. But the way that they interact, and you see, and like you learn so much because like animals, they go off of instinct, and they also have so much knowledge in their genetics. When they are born, they know how to do so many things, and we know how to do nothing. So when you think about the fact that, like, okay, they just go by their life, they do all of these different things. My cat plays with my iPad, and, like, my cat is so smart.
Right.
But he also, he knows how to, like, communicate with me and the other cats without words. So when you think about that, you're like, okay, so there's just different ways to do things, and it changes over time. We see, like, oh, especially with the stock market recently and with crypto, guess what? Banks said this is the way things are done. And people said, actually, we can do whatever we want because society is made up and the banking system is made
up.
And we can make our own banking system.
That's where
we can just do whatever we want. So if you think about like, hey, this idea was once made up by someone who maybe probably necessarily may or may not have been much smarter than me or you or anyone. They made up this way to do it. So maybe I can make up a new way that could be smarter. And the times have changed so much that like I think we're seeing a lot of structural changes in our society. And I think like, that's a really great thing to think about because when you think about the structures in society, like systematic racism and the fact that those things can be changed when people make an effort, it's great to see and like explore that because guess what? People are just going along with it because society told them that's the way it is. That's not true. That's the point that I'm making.
I hope we never stop evolving though, because I think evolution is extremely natural. It's what you're describing, right? There was a banking system and the people were like, let's decentralize this shit. And
the point is that it's all made up so you can make up a new one, is my point. In society.
Make up a new one though for what reason?
Because
it's better, right? Or it functions
just because people tell you this is the best way to do things, you can question it. And that's the problem. The thing that I'm saying is like, don't take anything of like, oh, this is 100% the best way, because no one will innovate if they think that.
Mm. I hope
we'll never reach the best way of doing anything.
No. I hope we continue.
No, there's never.
When is the blockchain going to be outdated?
But
honestly,
but money goes across with anything in life.
But finance is the first piece of decentralization.
Decentralization that we're seeing.
It's going to lead to a completely different society.
The
next thing that's you're going to start to see is decentralized thought. And that's people having to the ability to think for themselves.
Yeah,
and so
exactly.
at one point, Plato said, yo, this is how things are.
Yeah.
I'm positive. This is my beliefs on mathematics, on form, on physics. 20, 30 years later, Aristotle said, yo, that's not true.
Yeah.
And came up with a fully different fucking school of thinking. Yeah. And now both are looked at, right? And everybody's saying, let's think for ourselves.
And there's hundreds of different schools of philosophical thought. And I find it very interesting to study one different philosopher and then kind of put myself and look at each different situation from that point of view. And I'm like, these, I can come to different conclusions. And I don't like necessarily 100% agree or disagree with anyone, but like I can see now, you know, there's all these different types of people in the world that see things completely different than maybe I necessarily do. And like, who says we have to think the same because we don't? That's the point.
Do you guys not feel that could lead to a dangerous route?
Allowing people to have free decentralized thoughts?
No, I mean, like, at what point do we cap it? Like, what point do we tell people your race doesn't need to be on this planet anymore?
It shouldn't affect other people.
What are you talking about?
That's how people, you would think, they would open up those borders. Think about, like, Hitler's time.
Would he want to fix the economic state?
Yeah, for sure.
State?
No, you're right.
And
it's dangerous.
Thinks, why are we
Yes, it's dangerous.
Jewish-
it's dangerous, but if you confine and constrict the potential upside as a action to mitigate the potential downside, you are limiting the ability for us to grow as a species.
It's not that easy to just change. Cause let me give you an example. 50 years ago, if you took the people from 20 years ago, took them 30 years ago, we'll meet at 30. So it makes sense. Took them from 30 years, brought them here. The way they would look at the way men are acting and women are acting, they'll be like, yo, this is crazy.
It's crazy, but we're progressing as like a society. And yes, like these, yeah, it's inevitable. It's the oscillation and it never stops. And like, that's what life is. Everything is a wave. It oscillates up and down, back and forth. The stock market, crypto, life, people's ideology, left and right, everything they do. So you have to realize that it's when people feel they're getting pulled too far one way, then they... It corrects. It's just like, true.
But I don't think that should break our structure. And I'll tell you why. Because some people, honestly, shouldn't have that room to think. Because their thoughts are not going to be taken in the right place. Think about it. If you gave a guy in the street, like, okay, man, you're going to run this state right now. He might do better than our mayor now. But
so you're going into democracy and you're going into the argument of the philosophical argument about democracy. And is it a true democracy if you let everybody vote? Or is it a true democracy if you let the educated people who can make the best decisions because they have knowledge vote? And that has always been like...
Can I give you an example?
But that has been an argument over the course of history on like what democracy truly is.
Back to the Senate. May I give you one example
of what I'm saying? People don't always have good in their heart. They might have good intentions for themselves, but they don't have good in their heart. Let me give you an example. When the Me Too movement happened, everybody was excited about it. Because like, yeah, fuck these motherfuckers that are taking their power to the next level, right? But then what happened right after that? We had girls that were lying, guys that were lying, and they were burning. We had a fucking guy from the Empire hurting himself in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah, small. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what I'm saying is, dude, you want to give these people power?
And yo,
like,
listen,
no one said about giving.
There should be one guy that
you have
a thought
and you can make it an access. That's a power.
I believe there should be.
Is running for governor.
He might win. I say there needs to be one.
Saying your question is democracy allowing every single person to have equal amount of free speech and power? Or are you saying only the people that are educated and necessarily have good hearts and by whose standard have the ability to make decisions? And it's who's going to be the judge of that? Like where, you know, what's the key? Like, what are we judging by? Who decides what that key is? It's like society goes against when they don't like something. Everyone can team up together and say like, yeah, we don't support that. And it's great with like what we're seeing with crypto and stuff like that. You're able to like put your money where you want to support things. If you don't like the way like certain things are being done, then it's decentralized.
I believe in one overarching spotlight or highlight of this entire conversation.
Can I just say one thing for this part?
I'll just finish this and then go. It's part of this.
All right.
I think the overarching belief needs to be, and guiding light always needs to be, if what you are trying to pursue has a negative effect directly on the lives of someone else, then that is an irrational school of thought and should be discarded.
Yes.
As long as every single philosophy, every single form that you come up with for society, for yourself, for your life, follows that one guiding principle, then we would all end up in a great place.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think if you think about, okay, how much is this, you have, it's all comes back to risk versus reward. How much does this benefit me versus like, how much does this hurt others slash how much does this benefit the society I exist in? And how much does this like hurt that? And if it doesn't hurt the society of the people around you and you can do whatever you want to like not do that, then what's the point? Like if it doesn't, if it's not bothering other people, like then okay, yeah, you're not directly hurting other people past the threshold of like them feeling like you are. You know what I'm saying? Like I can do this. I don't have to necessarily like talk to someone on the street that wants to talk to me. Okay, yeah, maybe like I can weigh my risk versus reward. Do I want to like, if I don't want to talk to someone, I can still talk to them so everyone can feel nicer in this environment. Or like I can weigh if I want to or not. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, does this make me too uncomfortable to do it? Or does it make me more uncomfortable to not? It's basically what it comes down to. And like how much that affects the situation that you're in.
We ended up in a metaphysical conversation with Chantel Jeffries. Once again, I think we did this last time too. This is what she does. And the reason why I'm happy it went to this place was because this is where she gets comfortable and talks about stuff. Like, I feel like this is the stuff that you truly enjoy discussing. Yeah. Am I right?
Yeah. I like to think of like, you know, just even talking about philosophy, like we were just doing, it's like just being able to do a thought experiment and look at something and not say, okay, I'm going to bring my opinion necessarily into this because I know I have things that have shaped my specific opinion, which nobody has the same experience on earth as me.
Yep.
So I have to see how much of that I can put aside to say as an overall, you know, philosophical idea, I think this is sound or not.
Like you're talking about the lens, what you're speaking of. Yeah. Everybody has a different
lens.
Like
a different lens. Can I take away my lens of like, me, you know, and who I am and think of this as like, do I think this concept is sound or not? Like, do I think different examples fit into this and work out and give me a good answer or not? I'm kind of just doing that.
Logan looks like he's about to change gears here because he's got something pulled up.
I think we could all, I mean, I don't know if we could all meet in the middle, but my thought process is this. Everybody has a different point of view and I just don't want it to cross onto other people's point of view.
Sure. Right?
For example, if you look at a tree, one kid
might. The four example. I didn't think you would.
It has to come into balance. Yeah.
I think he's giving the final.
Hey, if I had to stop and point at every single thing both of you guys do, we wouldn't have a podcast. We just go back and forth.
I'm defending you. I'm saying he's giving his final.
Nope, collateral damage. Fuck you. So what's going to happen is I'm going to finish. I'm going to say, for example, one more time. So, for example, you're lucky I don't have my spider shit, bro. I'll just fuck it. Both of you guys right now.
They love
so good.
One of the best moments of 2021.
Ever.
Thank God. At least we ended it with a good fucking bang.
It's not over, man.
It's not.
We're not leaving.
I'm fucking leaving. I'm not leaving. I'm going to end it with this. Everybody has a point of view. I could look at a tree and then I could see a tree and then this could get dark, but I saw my father hang himself on a tree. And then another person's perspective is her mommy's to pick apples with her. So this person's idea of a tree is dark and this is light. What I'm saying is I get that you guys want to be like, hey, this is my thought process. This is how I want to hit. But I feel like because we all have such a big and diverse point of view and how life is actually structured, that there should be a huge group conversation for the mass and how it should run. But because you guys are like pro drugs and the fixing of it.
Whoa.
I'm giving an example.
Don't do drugs.
Pro drugs and an example, but this person.
I'm pro choice.
Right.
I'm pro choice. I want to be very clear because I'm pro choice about everything that like we've talked about on here. I'm not like saying go do anything or not do anything. I'm saying you should have your choice to do so.
You're pro personal responsibility.
But what point do you draw that line? Like you have a choice.
What do you mean? People are going to, if they want to do drugs or not, they are going to do that. And it's better if like.
But he does drugs, hits a little girl on a bike.
Guess what? If you think that it's illegal or not, that's going to stop people from doing it. That's just not true.
Guys, stop it. You can't say that because if you make it legal, millions of more people feel safer to do that drug.
I don't know. It might be one of those things where
people
are telling you can't do it and you feel inclined to do it.
Yeah.
That's pure pressure.
What?
Also, alcohol is the you can drink. Guess what? You can drink alcohol and get behind the wheel of a car, and that happens way more than like people doing drugs.
And driving kills more.
There's a choice in life for anything. Demons? There's a choice in life, and you have to realize that like your choices have consequences. There's a choice in life for everything. So it's just like, pro-choice. This is like the way that I feel about it.
I don't know. I just think about it this way. If the gym's open, there's a lot more people that are going to go into it.
Nice job. Nice. Go to the gym. I like go to the gym. That seems like the right ending note. Like go work out. Get a workout.
Yeah, go work out. You don't have to take LSD. Just take a pre-workout.
Speaking of pre-workout.
Oh, God. I am looking at this and worried.
Mike.
Anyway, well, you've had it
this,
off.
This is your girlfriend's Instagram.
What is it?
And this just in. Yeah. Her last Instagram post. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. What? She quoted Cardi B. If ain't no ring on my finger, you ain't going on my gram. Oh, is that why she didn't post you on Valentine's Day?
I didn't even
Day?
Know about this chick is out of control right now, dog.
Michael.
Dog, look who liked it. Look at the bottom.
Your sister.
My sister. Dog, I'm getting teamed up on out here, bro.
Oh, my God.
People need to slow the roll. I don't even believe in the social construct of marriage.
Yeah, what do you mean?
I believe in the decentralization of relationships,
yeah, same.
Okay? People should be free to think and act
people
responsibly.
People should be able to, if they want to be in a regular relationship or different or not.
Are you okay?
What happened?
Fine. I just did little violence, Jake. If you get it, just so you, LSD.
Period.
This is what fucking happens.
Period.
When you do drugs, kids.
I'm like,
yeah, I don't know what to say about it.
Her eyebrows are phenomenal. Well,
but all I know is, hold on.
Look at her eyebrows. What
Logan,
the fuck is
Logan,
this?
She's great eyebrows.
That, she may say I can't get anything picture on the gram.
She's sending nudes as we speak.
Hold on, but oh shit. But look at that. But look at that picture right there. And what does that caption say?
She has a pink cowboy hat on. She's holding it, and she says, "Can I take a ride, sir?"
And I said, "Anytime you want, pretty lady." So maybe she won't post me on the gram, but she gonna post up on this gram, if you know what I'm saying. So
does that mean your dick is a gram?
I don't fucking know, George.
Did anybody catch that shit?
George, you are a social construct. You're not even a real
We're not even really here. It's a simulation,
I'm just a thought
and guess
that
what?
Could possibly be here or not.
God,
I'm about to be a simulation when I'm in Puerto Rico, full hologram.
I'll become a simulation crazy. When I upload myself
I'll
to the
tell
cloud.
You after.
Yeah.
Thread or wax?
You think you'll get married one day? How do you feel about marriage? I'm just curious.
I think it's a social construct.
That
I don't
really
believe
is.
In it.
Yo,
it's
that
the
really
dumbest
is.
Shit.
No, marriage really
dumbest
is.
Shit.
I'm like, Wes, I don't believe, like, I.
Oh my God.
I'm like,
yo,
I'm not even going to get into my. Like,
you know what? I'm glad I was catfished. Yeah. I don't believe in anything I believe in.
I like you a lot. Take half my money. Like, what kind of shit is that? Yo, you're dope and I like hanging out with you. Here's half my money. And a nice ring, and we're gonna march around in front of some people in Hawaii. Like, dude, why can't we just love
bro,
each
you
other?
Posted a fucking video of you guys. Don't talk about the fucking clout right now. I'll come clapping at both of you guys. Marriage is great. You could get a prenup. What's next? Give me something
I
else about marriage.
I said pro choice. They asked me about
Well, guess what? He says, said, do you want to marry me? It's your fucking choice. You can say yes or no. Next.
Listen here. You're not Renee Descartes.
I'm shooting from the hips.
Yo,
Renee
Descartes
is my
is that,
favorite.
I knew it. I knew it. I was about to say it, too. I was
like,
about
I
to say
it.
I just
that's got it. I was reading it. I was like, I feel like I've had every single one of these thoughts already.
Because he's the platform for simulation for all of that stuff.
He goes, I just don't know what is real. So I'm just going to pretend. He's like, I'm going to go all the way back to nothing is real and then see each thing that I can confirm is real and then add them on.
See, fucking
yes.
Guy.
Yeah. I think it was Descartes, right?
Yeah.
His core
what
belief
the
is that.
Fuck?
Just because you can hear it, smell it, see it, taste it, doesn't mean it's real.
He is. I think, so therefore I am.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Because
you're. So there's this meme I posted, and it was like, Descartes. And I was like, I think, therefore I am. And it was like, inanimate objects. And it was that, you know, that, like, the kid going like this
the
and
ghost?
Like disappearing.
Do you hear?
Yeah.
Oh, he knows all about that
yeah,
meme.
He loves that meme,
bro.
His objective or his observation on life is that
just because your senses support it doesn't mean it's 100% real. So there's more at play here than simply your senses. Well,
The only thing that's real is if you are conscious, then you know that if you're able to think, then being able to have that thought means that you're real.
Yes.
So like it's really complicated. He's like, I'm going to go get married now. So I don't have to think about
that. Hey, question.
I need to make sure it's real.
Does this ever fuck your guys' brains
up? So you thought that I was real. So in your mind.
No.
Catfish.
No one here thought you were real. I'm just kidding.
So therefore, in your reality, if you never had anything to interrupt that would have remained real to you and forever.
Well, I thought you were real, but then you were a catfish.
Exactly.
So you're right. You're absolutely right. Have you guys ever had this thought? You ready for this? That does this ever fuck your brains up? This always slows me down in my day. Other people have their own shit. Like there's a person in life in three neighborhoods down, you'll never fucking know who that guy is. But he's either crying right now or laughing, has a baby, has an issue. You'll never fucking know about it. His life has so much depth to
there's
it.
There's a fear.
Is it FOMO?
No, there's a fear. It's a phobia.
Of not knowing?
There's 8 billion people on this planet, each with lives as vivid as and complex as yours. It's an actual fear. It's terrifying.
What's it called?
I looked up what it's the fear that there are 7 billion people with lives as complex. Nothing. Nothing. Hold on. I'm going to find it.
He's like, let's make up the word right now.
It really fucks me up. It's something a phobia.
George, no matter what, just don't ever read any Friedrich Nietzsche.
Sonder.
Don't
go on philosophy.
It's called Sonder.
Definitely.
Sonder. Realization that each random passerby is living a life as vivid and complex as your own.
What's it called? Sonder?
Oh, yeah. There's a movie, right?
And there's it doesn't scare me. It just has me ponder. And then here's another one.
You ponder
one.
Sonder?
So Sonder has you ponder.
You ponder Sonder? Yeah, nice.
Dude, I love how these guys have their own inside jokes going on. They're just like,
we get each other.
Yeah. We're philosophers.
Yes. I was saying I wanted to start a philosophy podcast where we just talk about
I happen to need a new podcast co-host.
I'm like this. So we can talk about current events and different philosophers' outlooks on it. And then we can apply, like, what would this person think about this?
I can't wait for you to start your podcast and get shit fucking views. And I'll be here in hologram.
I'm gonna be here too.
I'll be here and not
right, I'm gonna be doubled.
Yeah, and guess who the first guest is? Probably like Bieber or some shit. Whoever she could bring, all the fucking big stars, dude. And listen, I'm gonna still be here. We're gonna do our philosophy podcast, whatever, bro. All right,
that's all we got.
I love you. That's great.
Chantel, thanks for coming on Impulsive.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Yeah. We appreciate you. Chantel. Hit that subscribe button. We love you. We'll see you next week. Take it easy. Bye.
On holiday, there's nothing like doing nothing. As an Expedia member, you can save up to 30% when you add a hotel to your flight, so you can go out there with great ambition to do absolutely nothing for less. Expedia, made to travel.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.